Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clark from the Center for Weight Loss Success. And on this podcast of Weight Loss Surgery Success, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas you can use right now to lose weight. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Dr. Clark. And on this podcast, I want to go over some ideas to use right now to lose weight. And we're going to go through some things, just some simple things to do if you're just going to do a couple of things. Here are the things to do. I've probably hit on some of these ideas previously, but I'm kind of putting this all together in one little podcast here. Now, when I talk to someone about kind of eating, and their eating plan. And an eating plan is a cornerstone of a weight loss plan. Obviously, behavior modification, exercise and activity, that's very important in a weight management plan, but eating is still a cornerstone of a weight loss plan. So when we talk about what I refer to as the basics of someone's eating plan, it really boils down to three things. And this doesn't matter whether you're trying to lose 5 pounds or whether you're trying to lose 105 pounds. These three things are important in an eating plan. And the three things are calories, protein, carbohydrate. Those are the three things. And the real trick there is figuring out, okay, what are the numbers? The number of calories, how much protein, how much carbohydrate. Now, people often wonder when I say that, you know, calories, protein, carbohydrate. Now, the back of their mind, they're asking, well, what about fat? Okay, you didn't say anything about fat. Well, from a weight perspective, fat actually isn't the most important thing. As far as weight is concerned, fat is not the big culprit here. And let me put a qualifier on that. Fat potentially can be a culprit if it drives your calories too high. But reality is, if you're keeping an eye on your calories, you're already keeping an eye on fat. Because there's more fat, there's more calories in fat than there is either protein or carbohydrate. But if you're keeping an eye on calories at all, you're typically already keeping an eye on fat. Fat does not influence the hormones that affect weight. Protein and carbohydrate do affect the hormones that affect weight. Fat certainly influences calories, but if you're keeping an eye on calories, you're already keeping an eye on fat. So that does not mean that fat's not important at all. It is. But if you're going to count things, if you're starting to look at things, the basics really are looking at calories, protein, and carbohydrate. And again, the trick is figuring out the numbers. People often also ask, not just about the fat, but okay, what about exercise? Okay, exercise obviously is very important during a weight loss plan, but it's not because it helps you lose weight faster. It typically doesn't. Okay, what exercise does, it helps preserve your lean body mass or your muscle mass. Okay, and it's your lean body mass that drives your overall metabolism, so it keeps you losing weight longer. Again, the simplified version of all that is why that is, because, well, a pound of muscle burns a lot more calories in 24 hours than a pound of fat does. So the more lean body mass you have, the higher your metabolism is. Now, that's again a little bit oversimplification, because depending on where the muscle came from, literally kind of a pound of muscle from a well-trained athlete burns a lot more calories in 24 hours than a pound of muscle from a couch potato. Okay? So depending on how well-trained the muscle is too, that'll also affect how many calories it uses. So it's not as simple as saying, well, if a pound of calories burns this many, or a pound of muscle burns this many calories. It is, because the better trained it is, the more calories it's going to utilize. And that's just because the metabolism is based on kind of how much is typically utilized. And the well-trained muscle is going to have more mitochondria in there. It's going to be able to utilize more energy. That's what a well-trained muscle can do. And subsequently, the basal metabolism is going to be higher there. Now, I do encourage people to just take that thought a little bit further with the exercise part, is to preserve lean body mass, build lean body mass, tune up that lean body mass, get it working even better, is make sure you do some weight training. Weight training is the best exercise for helping preserve lean body mass and keep your metabolism as high as possible. All right, so let's go back then to the basics. Again, number one of the basics was calories. Okay. Now, if weight loss was as easy as just saying eat less or eat less calories, I wouldn't have a job. I mean, it'd just be easy. I'd tell you, okay, you're trying to lose weight, eat less food, eat less calories, and you'll lose weight. But as just about everybody that's trying to lose weight realizes, it's not quite that simple. Okay. Now, one of the reasons, or a couple of the reasons it's not quite that simple, is that we have to start thinking about what is a calorie. You know, we start looking at calories. A calorie is just a unit of heat. That's all it is. So it's a unit of heat, the dictionary definition, okay, it's a unit of heat that helps raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of water 1 degree Celsius. Okay, so the number of calories in a given food is determined by burning it in a closed system called a calorimeter. Okay, well, that's great. And it can tell you how much energy is given off if you burn this piece of toast in a calorimeter, how much calories, how much energy, how much heat is given off when you do that. And so it works really nicely in a closed system. Well, humans aren't closed systems. There are so many things that are ongoing in a human body, from respiration, digestion, all the things that are going on at the same time. Humans are open systems. So think that a calorie works the same way in an open system as it does in a closed system. That's kind of a huge leap of faith there. And there's no reason to think that actually is going to work the same way. And whoever thought this was going to work the same way, I'm not sure where they got that idea from, because it actually makes no sense to think that something that works well in a closed system works exactly the same way in an open system. So just there's some flaw in that thinking anyway. Now, another thing that I consider though, when we're talking about weight gain and calories, okay, typically, yes, weight gain is correlated with eating too many calories. If we're eating more calories than what we spend, we're going to gain weight. And that is absolutely true. But when you think about it, though, going back to your adolescence, and we all, if you have kids or if you remember back to your adolescence, when we were growing quickly, they go through these growth spurts and they're growing in height and they're getting bigger and they're getting, you know, they're maturing as well. And that's normal maturation. And typically during these growth spurts, you find sometimes the kids, they're eating a tremendous amount more. Yeah, they're eating a tremendous amount more. And you think, okay, they're eating more calories. Now, they're not growing because they're eating more. And that's not the way it works. If that did, gee, we just feed kids more, we can make them even taller, we can make them. So, you know, it doesn't work that if we just feed somebody more and while they're children, they automatically just grow. Typically what happens is when they're going through those growth spurts, they're eating more because they're growing. Yeah, it's just a slightly different, now we're turning that around. So maybe it is even as adults. So as adolescents, you know, you eat more because you're growing, not you grow because you're eating more. Okay. Well, couldn't that possibly be the same true, or couldn't it be true as adults too? So that we don't actually grow fatter because we're eating more, but rather we're eating more because we're stimulated to grow fatter. And it's just turning that around a little bit. And so then the question is, okay, what's stimulating that growth then? You know, if we're eating more because we're stimulated to grow, not because we're growing because we're eating more. So what is stimulating that growth? And the bottom line is that, or the simple answer, relatively straightforward answer, is hormones. Just like as adolescents, when we're growing quickly and we're eating more because we're growing quickly, it's the hormones as they mature. As kids mature, they start, the hormones start maturing too, and it's these hormones that turn on growth. You turn on growth, and subsequently the body needs to eat more. So as adults, is that same thing happening? Is that, are there hormones that are affecting, kind of, that are stimulating growth, and subsequently we feel like we need to eat more? All right, which then kind of brings up another discussion. You know, these are just kind of interesting questions I'm bringing up here. But another discussion then, if that's true then, is counting calories actually even necessary? If it's not that it's a certain amount of calories causing growth, Well, I gotta say maybe, but maybe not. And the reason I say maybe not, because the bottom line is there's always a calorie ceiling, meaning that if you go above a certain number of calories, you're gonna gain weight. Okay? Now, just because you stay below that number, whatever that number is for you, if you go above it, you're gonna gain weight. But just because you stay below that number of calories does not mean you're going to lose weight. It just means you're not gaining weight. Hopefully, you're losing weight. So just because you're eating less calories doesn't mean you're going to lose weight. So we just have to keep that in mind. So part of that is trying to figure out how many, getting back to that calorie issue, is kind of, okay, maybe calories aren't quite as important, but there's still gonna be that calorie ceiling. So we do have to be careful there, but it is kind of figuring out those numbers. All right, so it's going to be somewhat different for everyone. Now, my experience with especially with my surgical patients, is that if they're above about 1,200 for women, if they're above about 1,200 calories, they're typically struggling to get their weight loss. Meaning, if for men, if they're above about 1,500 or 1,600 calories, they're struggling with their weight loss. And in theory, if you're eating that few of calories, you should be losing weight really easily. But again, as most people realize, that it's not as simple as just cutting back in calories. All right, so calories again, I'm not a big calorie counter, as people have sat down with me have realized. But again, there will always be that calorie ceiling. All right, the second part of this then, of the basics, was poor protein. We cannot survive without protein. Our overall metabolism is based on how much lean body mass we have. And lean body mass is basically entirely protein. So that's what it is. It's not just muscle mass, but even the bones, even the run, they're basically protein. Everything else, the lean body mass is basically structured on protein. Now, so your lean body mass is based on how much protein you're getting in, how much lean body mass you have. And so your metabolism is based on that lean body mass thing. Now the problem during a diet plan, which is by, you know, a diet plan, by definition, we're in calorie restriction, okay? So during calorie restriction, which is basically a diet, okay, your body actually will preferentially break down lean body mass, not fatty tissue. And that's a survival mechanism. Okay, your body does not know when you're going to eat again. Okay, your mind, you may know exactly when you're gonna eat again, but your body doesn't know that. Your body kind of assumes every meal is the last meal. And if you never ate again, what would get you to survive the longest period of time? Well, a good way to do that would be, well, break down lean body mass. If you break down lean body mass, you're gonna slow your metabolism down. If you slow your metabolism down, you're gonna survive a much longer period of time. So that works great for survival. Unfortunately, it does not work well for trying to lose weight. And so what we want to do during a weight loss plan, while we're restricting calories, you want to make sure that you're preserving the lean body mass. And basically, there's really two ways to help preserve lean body mass. And that is, well, you got to get your protein in. And number two is, well, you got to use lean body mass. And that's where the exercise part comes in. Again, weight training is probably the best way to do that. Now, to figure out how much protein someone needs, typically if you look at how much lean body mass you have, okay, if you take about 3/4, how many pounds of lean body mass you have, if you take about 3/4 of that number, that's going to be how many grams of protein you're going to need during a weight loss plan. So if you have, say, 120 pounds of lean body mass, and typically you're going to need a good 90 grams of protein per day to preserve that lean body mass during weight loss, during calorie deprivation. Now, there is some sense to high protein diets. People often think, gee, I encourage people to eat a high protein diet. I'm not. I'm encouraging you to eat an adequate protein diet. Again, the concept is preserving lean body mass. If it only took 20 grams of protein to preserve lean body mass, that's all you'd need. But I can assure you that 20 grams of protein is not going to work very well. So we're working on preserving lean body mass. But there is some sense to high protein diets. And high protein diets are often what bodybuilders may use. They may be taking in 200, 300, 400 grams of protein a day, which is fine. But there is some sense to that in weight loss for a couple of reasons. Protein tends to be more satisfying. When we eat protein, protein tends to keep us full for a longer period of time. Protein is also harder to digest. Digestion is work your body has to do. So if we increase the work your body has to do, we've increased your metabolism. So yes, eating protein does help you increase your metabolism. Protein also helps increase a couple of hormones that help you with weight loss. And this is a very important concept here, because protein increases the production of both glucagon and growth hormone. Glucagon is kind of the opposite hormone of insulin. Insulin's telling our body store fat. Glucagon tells your body, hey, mobilize some of that fat. Growth hormone, okay, now as adults, we don't make that much growth hormone, but we can't survive without growth hormone, so yes, we do make growth hormone, and we want to optimize what we make. So we optimize the growth hormone that we make, it'll help preserve lean body mass. Again, preserve lean body mass keeps your metabolism higher, helps us lose weight. Now, as far as kind of the amount of protein someone needs, for most people, somewhere around 90 to 100 grams of protein a day during weight loss is going to be adequate. Now, if you're in weight maintenance, you may only need, you know, 60 grams or so. Okay, but during weight loss, you do need to bump that up a little bit. All right, so that talked about kind of the calories, talked about the protein. Well, what about carbohydrate? Carbohydrate is the absolute key to controlling insulin and weight loss. And kind of two things very closely related there. Controlling insulin and controlling then weight loss. All carbohydrates are broken down to sugar. And it doesn't matter what you're, if you're, whether you're eating an apple or whether you're eating a piece of candy, they're both carbohydrate based. And so subsequently they're broken down to sugar. Your body can't tell where a sugar molecule came from or a glucose molecule. When I say sugar, I'm really talking about glucose. Your body can't tell where any glucose molecule came from. It doesn't know, did it come from an apple or did it come from a piece of candy? Can't tell the difference. It's a sugar molecule. So all sugar molecules potentially are going to give you blood sugar swings. It's just that complex carbohydrates often do it much smoother. They don't go up quite as quick and don't fall in quite as fast. And it's, the problem is that the blood sugar swings that occur potentially cause symptoms and potentially cause weight gain. So large blood sugar swings really cause two problems, physical symptoms and weight gain. The symptoms come from not blood sugars going up, but every time blood sugar falls. And it's the rate of the fall, not the actual number, that causes symptoms. The typical symptoms are, I feel shaky, I'm tired, I feel like I'm not thinking clearly, I get headaches, I feel like I'll lay down for a little while, I need to eat something right now, I have to eat something, I'm really feeling that tremulous feeling, they may feel a little bit faint even, and I've got to eat something right now. Now the symptoms come, again, not from the number itself, but how fast is it falling? If the blood sugar is falling quickly, that's what gives you the symptoms. Now, the speed of the fall always mirrors the speed of the rise. So the real treatment there is don't get the rise. If you don't get the rise, you don't get the fall. Actually, starving people keep their blood sugars rock stable. It's only when we start eating that things get thrown out of whack, and it's the carbohydrate that we eat that throws them out of whack. So typically, yes, carbohydrate will cause blood sugar swings, cause symptoms. Now, the second bad part of blood sugar swings is weight gain. Now, the weight gain comes from every time you get a big blood sugar swing up, now you get a big insulin swing up. And you get an insulin swing up, subsequently then insulin is the hormone that helps keep blood sugars normal, but it's also the hormone that is going to tell your body store fat. So weight gain really is kind of secondary to an insulin swing up, and that has nothing to do with how many calories you're eating. It just has to do with hormones. Again, insulin levels go up, your body turns on fat storage. Because insulin, just to take that thought a little bit, insulin itself is a growing hormone. Okay, so if it's a growing hormone, as adults, it's typically we're growing fatter. As kids, they're growing taller, they're getting broader, they're getting around. But for adults, it's typically we're growing fatter. So insulin is a growing hormone. And insulin, again, is released when blood sugar rises. And insulin, what it does, then it facilitates a transfer of the sugar molecule out of the bloodstream and into your body's cells so that your blood sugar then will fall. And so the blood sugar goes down, but also the sugar content in the cells actually goes up. Okay? And the problem there is that the cells only have two choices of what to do with the sugar molecule. It either has to burn it for energy right then, or it has to store it. Now, most of our cells can't store sugar as sugar. It has to convert it to fat. Okay? Now, insulin also can affect fat storage because it turns on an enzyme called lipoprotein lipase. And lipoprotein lipase stimulates your body to store fat. And lipoprotein lipase, again, is turned on by insulin. So insulin goes up, or let me rephrase it, blood screws up, insulin goes up, lipoprotein lipase is turned on, your body is told, store fat. And it's a message your body can't ignore. So even if you're eating low calorie again, if insulin levels go up, lipoprotein lipase is turned on, your body's being told, store fat, and it'll store fat. And what tends to happen then is the energy that you're taking in is being told be stored as fat, and the rest of your body isn't getting the energy it needs, so subsequently then you are hungrier. And so it makes us eat more. It turns on hunger and cravings. And this is all related to carbohydrate effect on hormones. So bottom line to all this from carbohydrate standpoint is anything you can do to keep insulin levels low is going to help you lose weight. Now, the only good news there is that insulin is actually one of the few hormones you can control, because most hormones you can't control. You're not controlling what your thyroid's doing. You're not controlling really kind of what your testosterone and estrogen are doing day to day. You can affect them a little bit, but day to day, you can affect what your insulin level's doing, because insulin only goes up in response to blood sugars go up. Blood sugars going up respond to what you occur from what you eat. And again, it's the carbohydrate that you eat. So bottom line to all that is the lower you keep your carbohydrate intake, the lower your blood sugars tend to stay. The lower your blood sugars tend to stay, the lower your insulin levels stay. The lower your insulin levels stay, the easier it is to lose weight. So we typically see the best weight loss when people get their carbohydrate about 50 grams a day or less. That's where we typically see the best weight loss in there. And the second we see the best weight loss is if you can get your protein to carbohydrate ratio about 2 to 1. Well, I mentioned earlier, that protein in that 90 to 100 gram range, and that carbohydrate now in less than 50 grams. Okay. So when I were to get back to that original question of this podcast was, what can you do right now to help you lose weight? Well, if you're only going to do one thing, the one thing I would recommend you do is count your carbohydrate. It is the one thing that is going to control weight more than anything else, because carbohydrate affects insulin. If you're going to do two things, not only count your carbohydrate, but count your protein. Because protein also can manipulate hormones, both glucagon and growth hormone. Take your protein up. So ratchet the protein up, ratchet the carbohydrate down. If you're going to count three things, count your carbohydrate, count your protein, and count your exercise. And again, weight training is probably best. In my mind, calories runs a distant fourth. Okay? Calories typically isn't the problem. Because if you actually get your carbohydrate low enough, your protein high enough, hunger tends to be well controlled. And hunger is well controlled, cravings well controlled, calories will subsequently then fall. And we don't necessarily need to count them. There's a limit to that statement, because again, everyone will have that calorie ceiling somewhere. So again, quick review, if you're going to do one thing, count your carbohydrate, get it less than 50 grams a day. If you're going to do two things, count your protein, get it about 90 to 100 grams or more a day. And then finally, count your exercise. All right, everyone, covered a lot of material right there. We kind of pinged around a little bit, but hopefully it was helpful for you. If you think of questions, don't hesitate to give us a yell here at the Center for Weight Loss Success. The email is success@cfws.com, or just pick up the phone and call us, 757-873-1880. If you're really interested in getting more discussions, more interaction with me, sign up for our Losing Weight USA. Just go to our website, www.losingweightusa.com. Sign up there. You'll have access to me every week. We can have interactive webinars there. I can answer your questions directly. You'll also get the tip sheet weekly, as well as weekly recipes. All right. Thank you again for listening. And remember, it's your life. Make it a healthy one. Have a good day, everyone.